It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Bless me, William, for I have sinned. I have a confession to make.
You're supposed to tell me how long it's been since your last confession.
How old am I? He said, looking at his watch, which he's not wearing. That is my commitment to physical comedy.
I'm happy to hear your confession. This isn't private, though. You just started
recording. Yeah, I know. Also, I ain't going to do no penance, so fuck off. But I do need to confess this.
Okay.
Do I have to add that to the list now?
Yeah, just put it at the bottom. That's fine.
There just was in Our Flag Means Death, we watched the confession scene where he's like fornication twice, theft once, impure thoughts several, including one that just in my opinion was just really impure, and like this whole bit, it was pretty funny. So I'm still playing a bunch of Final Fantasy 14. I still really enjoy it. This is a good game. I've started playing another game on the side.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I don't think you've played them, but I believe you're familiar with them, and most people are familiar with the Grand Theft Auto games.
Familiar, yes.
Yes. I famously do not play them. That's not what this is. I don't play them, and actually, I have a rule for myself. I'm not allowed to play them.
Oh.
Because I just feel like they'd be a terrible influence on me. They just seem so awful to me that I'm like, no. However, I'm fine with playing a very similar game, apparently.
Okay.
So I'm still in my current obsession with the McElroy Brothers. And in the process of that, I've come across a video series called Monster Factory. And it actually goes back several years to when two of the McElroy brothers worked at the gaming website Polygon.
Okay.
And Monster Factory is basically, they load up a video game that has robust character customization options, and they make the most ridiculous, hideous looking character they possibly can. And then they bring them into the game and just sort of play the game in weird ways, however they feel like, just like screwing around and doing silly stuff. And it's all very dumb. It's all very juvenile. And they can't stop laughing, and I can't stop laughing. And it's just fun. But there is a side effect in that a lot of these games, and they're always old games too, but a lot of these games I watch and I'm like, I don't want to do what they're doing, but it kind of looks like that game would be fun to play, like, for real. And so that is why I brought up those Dark Souls games recently, because they did that in the Dark Souls games. I'm like, those look really cool. Can't play those, too hard, whatever. Recently, they were doing Sims 4, and I'm like, maybe I should get Sims 4. That kind of looks cool. And some other ones. And then they played a game called Saints Row the Third. And I was already familiar with the Saints Row series. The Saints Row series is basically, well, I've heard it described as Grand Theft Auto with a sense of humor. It has all the gratuitous violence. It has all the juvenile and vulgar humor. It has all the dumb, you know, 13-year-old boy turned into a video game shit that the Grand Theft Auto games have. But whereas the Grand Theft Auto games seem to be like, isn't this cool? The Saints Row games are like, we know how dumb this is. And so it's a lean into, and it's technically, it's a series about a street gang, and you're the head of a street gang, and it's you slowly like expanding. So like each game, you're like a bigger deal in the world. And apparently the third game was the real good one. Didn't play it. So, and they were doing the third one in this video. So I was like, that looks kind of fun. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go see. Maybe I have it already. Because sometimes in PlayStation Plus, that was the free game or whatever. I'm like, I'll go check. And I didn't. But I'm like, let's see how much it costs. And it's like $30. And I'm like, for a game, I'm really not sure. I don't think I'm going to do $30. But then I notice the fourth one, including, it's like the premium version, like it has all the DLC and extras and stuff, is currently on sale for $4.23. And I'm like, well, shit. I'm going to do that. So, yeah, you got to sit over here. I'm podcasting. And so I bought it and I installed it. And I made a character. And I also just say, one of the jokes about the Saints Row games is in making your character, there is a slider called sex appeal. And it does one thing. If you play a boy character, it makes the bulge in the front of your crotch bigger or smaller to ridiculous proportions. And if you're playing a female character, it makes your chest bigger or smaller to ridiculous proportions. And since I am in the confessional here, yep, I made a female character with 100 on that slider. Yes, I did. In Trish's words, that's not even how those connect to the bot. It's ridiculous. But I started playing this game. And the fourth one, a little different. The fourth one, they ran out of scale. So what they decided was that this street gang decided it was going to make the world a better place and started fighting terrorists. And the whole tutorial, before you've made your character, so you're like completely covered in this tactical suit and there's something wrong with your mic, so you can't talk for the whole tutorial, just in case, which is hilarious because I'm like, the person in that suit is definitely not the person I made. They would not have fit in that suit, but whatever. But this whole thing, you're on this thing trying to stop a terrorist. And in the process, I end up saving the world from a nuke that was going to hit Washington, D.C. And that's the tutorial. And then that catapulted me into such popularity that I got elected president. And most of my staff and my cabinet are my old gang member friends. And this is my favorite thing ever. My vice president is badass and character actor Keith David, voiced by Keith David. And I love that. And then what happens is we jump ahead a few years and I'm president. I'm going to a press conference and aliens invade. And aliens wipe out most of the people and the rest of it they grab and they stick us in the simulation to break us. And the simulation is actually just my old street. My old town where I used to be a gang member. And so I start doing gang member shit again because of reasons, but also because of weird technical things. And some of my people know how to hack the system and whatever. I do various things. So I fucking get superpowers. And it actually reminds me a lot of the Infamous games very quickly. And so it's real, real ridiculous. And I'm a terrible driver. I run over everybody all the time. I have weapons, like things that explode people. And if there are other people nearby, it makes them explode. I have a gun that plays music and makes people dance to it until they die. All sorts of crazy. I have a gun that shoots toilet plungers that I think catch fire. I'm not sure. It's all very weird. All sorts of different outfits you can get and things and cars. There's a lot of like, tricking out your cars, but I just keep stealing new ones, so I don't know. And you fight aliens and all this stuff, and it's terrible. I'm very ashamed, but it's really fun. It's really fun and really cathartic. And like, for the first few days, I didn't hide this fact that I was playing it, but for the first few days I refused to play it if Trish was around, because I'm like, it's too shameful. I can't do it. And finally, I was like, this is so sorry to do it. And Trish thinks it's hilarious. Trish likes to make fun of me for all the stuff I do. And how bad a driver I am. I'm a really bad driver. I've been trying to work on it, but I'm really bad. So, yeah, I play it usually in small doses. But I have been playing that game.
Okay.
It's pretty fun though.
Make one podcast and I shall absolve you, my son.
I was afraid you were going to say that. All right. I guess we got to keep this going. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world where one of your hosts is freshly showered and changed because shortly before the podcast, one of his beloved cats vomited down his leg while sitting on his lap.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was not. Normally, when she starts making those noises, Trish is like, get off, get on the floor, whatever. And I try and be nicer. And she's sitting on my lap, and I'm like, she's just going to puke on this, which needed to go in the laundry anyway. That's fine. But no, she stretched out. So she did hit the thing I was wearing, but also just puked down my bare leg. And I'm just like, oh my God, oh my God. Trish is like, what? I'm like, it's so warm. And I can... not pleasant, but Trish is like, so you're gonna take a shower now? I'm like, yeah. So now I'm all fresh and clean, except psychologically. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 584.
584. All right. For those of you just joining us, we have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com, and all the best people everywhere write in, members of our gang, you might say, but also just random strangers, write in to that email address, TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com, with crap they want to ask us, crap they want to tell us, crap they want us to talk about, sometimes just crap, occasionally straight up crap, but whatever they want. And the hat magically, all on its own, transmogrifies those emails into just, it forwards the emails to us. And then we read them and then we talk about them. And that's the show, except often we only do that for a little bit of the show. So welcome, won't you? This has only been 1 week, right? It's Thursday, right? It has to be Thursday because we're recording.
That's right. I have
lost track of what day it is. My wife, the publisher, the producer, whatever. It has the week off. She took the week off, but we didn't go anywhere. And so I mostly took the week off. Like, I'm doing the things that, like, the house would collapse if I don't. I'm cooking, I'm doing, but like the other chores that I often have, I'm like, no, we're taking this week off because Trish is on vacation, I'm on vacation. And it's been surprisingly busy. Like, I'm amazed at how busy I am when I'm doing nothing. But I've been very busy. Just hanging out a lot, and I've lost track of what day it is and all sorts of stuff. So, but it must be Thursday. So how was your week?
It's a lot of school. I forgot to mention that we watched Outer Range. You've heard of that?
You watched all of it.
Yeah, and we watched it as it was airing, so.
I have recently heard of it and talked to people about it. I have watched none of it. How would you think?
Well, I think I'd like to watch it again, because I think there were things that I didn't like about it that once the run was completed, I thought, oh, well, maybe
you would.
Yeah, maybe that doesn't bother me so much because I didn't. You know, sometimes you think they're making a mistake, right? You think, there's a story error there, or a big hole or something. And then you find out it's not that. And then you wonder if while you were watching it, you knew that, if you would have thought differently about it. I don't know. Maybe that'd be
it. No, The Tourist had some of that. It would have things that I'm like, that's a really dumb way to handle that character line or whatever. And then like three episodes later, I'm like, oh, so that was on purpose. And that's how that works. Okay.
And sometimes
you're like, no, that's still bad.
Sometimes it's not even that it's dumb. It's just that you're not quite sure you like it or get it until later. Like, I think if I watched Severance again, I'd probably enjoy certain episodes more. Having an understanding,
I really would like to watch Severance again. I don't. Yeah. I know I won't because I don't do that. But I think I would get a lot out of that.
But I think if I watched, Outer Range again, I would like it better. And I think I'd recommend it. I mean, it's got some good performances in it anyway. So
it's got a lot of impressive actors in it.
No
kidding. And so what happens is my massage therapist, we frequently talk about what we're watching or whatever. And she's like, have you seen The Outer Range? And I said, I haven't even heard of this. And she's like, interesting. It's on Netflix, I think. And I said, based on the title, I said, what's it about? And she said, I kind of don't want to tell you. I kind of think you maybe should go in cold, and, you know, because they're spread. And I said, well, based on the title, I would assume it's probably a Western or a sci-fi. And she said, yep, pretty much. And she said, also, for the record, me telling you about it and asking if you've seen it is not me endorsing. I'm neither endorsing it or not endorsing it. It's been a thing lately. So I just was curious if you'd watched it. So I went home and looked at the trailer. And as near as I can tell, it's about some cowboy families. And one of them has a big hole on their property that we don't know where it goes. And there's some hinky supernatural or possibly alien shit going on. Here's what I got from it, though. To me, it looks like one of those. It looks like a J.J. Abrams legacy. It looks like, yeah, what's the mystery of this hole? And why is everybody interested in it? And why does this other rancher want to buy the land? And clearly they know something. And oh, the mystery. And that's why you watch. And in reality, they will tell you very little about the mystery in the first season. And it will mostly be probably some gritty, nasty stuff about two groups of people being pretty shitty to each other, interspersed with little tidbits and clues of, oh, some weird stuff. And we won't resolve anything by the end. And we'll hope you'll come back. And then that was my vibe from it. And then I was talking to my sister one day, and we're talking about TV shows and stuff. And I'm like, have you heard of The Outer Range? And she's like, yeah. And she said, we watched the first episode, and she kind of described it. And she used different words, but it sounded very similar to what I thought it was going to be. Because she's mostly like, everybody seems kind of shitty, and I don't like a show like that. Mm-hmm. So based on that, and then I showed Trish the trailer. I'm like, I'm not going to watch it because I don't think she's interested. So based on that, we have not watched it. You are now our resident expert. How do you think these assumptions have gone? Because this is entirely based on somebody who only saw the trailer, and in my sister's case, only saw one episode.
First of all, it's not on Netflix, is it? Isn't it on?
No, it's Amazon. Did I say Netflix? It's on Amazon. Sorry. No, nothing's on Netflix.
I would say that, I mean, you know, it's everything you described is almost its own genre. And the previews for it is definitely trying to sell that genre to the people who like that genre. So most of what you said is accurate, although I didn't get the impression that the people being awful was that big a part of it. You know, being awful to each other.
I go this far? It appears to be way more about interfamily drama than about the mystery of the spooky shit in the back 40 or whatever.
No, I don't. Seem like that to me. Hmm. Now, do they spend, you know, do you get frustrated watching an episode that doesn't really seem to address that piece of it? Yeah, it's like, why aren't you giving me answers to these questions?
Which I believe there's only 6 episodes in the season. So if there's even one entire episode that doesn't address that, that's bad.
But it's, and I, you know, I don't know. Maybe if you watched it, you would think, well, it's mostly about this interfamily drama. Although, I don't think so. But maybe I just have a different tolerance for it than you've got. There's just a lot of questions that, but the thing is, and this is why I said what I said earlier, is by the time you get to the end of it, you realize that in many cases they were addressing the thing and you just didn't know it. You just didn't get it. Okay. Like, finally they get
I'd be careful. I think like my brain is putting together things that could constitute spoilers based on that.
All right, sorry.
And
sorry,
I don't care because I'm not going to see it, but our listeners might.
I'm just trying to say that it's hard for me to evaluate it based on your criteria because, like, I think I might have had one opinion halfway through and then a different opinion. So, I mean, if you don't like this kind of thing, I don't see how you'll like it.
Well, I'll tell you this. This is one of those things that I'm like, I don't think I want to watch this show. I 100% want to go to Wikipedia and read the synopses about it.
I mean, that's fair, I think.
Do we get any sort of resolution by the end of the season?
You get a lot of information, I think, by the end. There's a whole bunch of things that aren't answered, of course. They answer a lot of questions you weren't really asking.
Oh, great. All right.
And there's, awesome. But there's something satisfying about that. I mean, like I said, it's maybe.
That's how Black Widow got that vest she wore in that one movie.
I mean,
someone gave it to her.
No, they're more interesting answers than that. But it makes me want to go back and watch it again. And I think I actually would enjoy it a second time. And I didn't not enjoy it the first time because the thing is, I do like this kind of thing. I'm with you a little bit on not liking to watch shows where everyone's just awful. But
you also flew to LA to be in a documentary about Lost. So I guess
you get it. So, yeah, I mean, I do generally like this kind of thing. I can tolerate a lot of nonsense in it if I think it's interesting thematically or whatever, or the performances are good, whatever it is. So I did like watching it the first time. I suspect I'd like it better the second time, but I know this kind of thing isn't for everybody, and so I don't really know who to recommend it to.
Speaking of crazy people who get obsessed with Lost, I think Jazz is in England right now.
She could be. I mean, I haven't talked to her recently.
Neither have I, but she posted a picture on Facebook of her and some other people at the Angel of the North. So she's either in England right now or has been, or just suddenly found an old photo and was like, hey, that seems weird. So that's good, which means she's in the same country as Craig, which means the two of you should get together for a real life meetup of who's super hat fans. Because we are an international podcast beloved by twos of people. So do that and spread the brand across the country and the world. Do it. Also, if you are listening and you have watched Outer Range, give me your take because I don't know what I'm talking about. And William's William. So I would love to hear your take on it.
How was your week?
Like I said, very exhausting. Mm. We are almost done with our Flagman's death. And I'm a little sad. I've been thinking a lot about the show. It's a really good show. And here's the deal. I want to make a comparison to Ted Lasso.
Wow, that's dangerous.
This is the thing. This show is not life-changing. This show is not one of my favorite shows of all time. Any of that. It is quite clever comedy, I think. And even though it is not, like, Ted Lasso positivity is sort of the premise of that show, this show just makes me really happy. I just really enjoy the characters, and I feel good after I watch an episode. And I mean, it's fucking pirates. People are getting stabbed and shit. Like, it's serious business, but I'm like, it's just nice and fun. And I like it. We also last night watched a movie, which we probably should have watched a while back, and which I'm betting, even though you've never mentioned it, you probably have seen. Sophie's Choice. No. Free Guy, We finally watched Free Guy.
Oh, yeah. We did see Free Guy. Yeah.
How did you feel about Free Guy?
I mean,
this is a good podcast.
I thought it was, you know, probably as clever as it could be with that premise. And you know, Ryan Reynolds is all right. You know, I'm not over the moon about him, but I, you know, I like him and stuff. So, I mean, I think I mostly liked it. Okay. But it wasn't fantastic or something.
I don't want to like Ryan Reynolds a lot, but especially if you put him front and center, man can deliver a joke. Man is fucking charming and man is easy on the eyes. Like, it is hard not to get swept up in that. I got reminded because Taika Waititi plays the villain in that. And I forget, I don't know why I forget, because it comes up all the time, but like, Taika Waititi is such a good director while also being such a good actor. It's very, it's almost jarring because you seldom get both like that. And it's just weird. I should say comedic actor. I don't know how he'd do in serious drama, but luckily never had to see him in serious drama. I'm going to say what Trish said because it is succinct and to the point, and I think a very accurate description of both how she and I feel, but then I'm going to say a whole bunch more because I'm me. Trish said there were enough problems with the story that it took me out of it several times. But overall, it was pretty fun.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty accurate for me too. Yep.
I had fun. I'm definitely not sorry I saw it. It's 2 hours long. It didn't feel too, like I wasn't itching for it to be over, which usually would happen with a 2 hour movie, no matter how much I liked it. So that's a good sign. It has some good performances in it. When it began, I mean, I knew the premise, and we'll just tell it. The premise is a character in a video game becomes self-aware that he's in a video game and starts being able to do, because he puts on the glasses that all the player characters have, he can do things like a player character does, and hijinks ensue. I'm going to leave it at that. There's actually several different aspects, but that's the basics. That's what you get from the trailer, that kind of thing. And it's Ryan Reynolds. And it's definitely an action comedy. I thought the lead up to, like, the first act, I thought the first act was very good. And I thought the premise, such as it was, they came at it in a fairly interesting and original way. Because you could say this is just sort of a version of Tron, which is true. But, like, I don't know. The vibe really worked for me. And I thought this was, like, an interesting direction for it. And having been playing, it's really fun. Because the game is clearly a massively multiplayer version of, like, a Grand Theft Auto or something. Because the whole game is, you can come in and just kill people and rob banks and whatever. And it doesn't matter. It's that kind of game. And having been playing a game like that, that was like, there were a lot of things that really spoke to me more than they would have otherwise. And you have to always give a little leeway with these kind of premises because it has to be on film. So like Tron, there's some things that like, you're like, that's not how computers work. And to be fair, with Tron also, they barely knew at that point. But there are some things with that, but in general, that sort of thing works. Then we hit the second act, and I say this with confidence because it has a very clear three-act structure. And the second and third acts appear to have been written by a different person than the first act. And I'm not going to say that this person is worse at writing screenplays. What I'm going to say is that the person in the second and third acts has zero idea how video games or computers work at all.
I didn't even notice that.
Everything they did to create tension and establish stakes were things that Trish and I are both like, that's not how a computer works. That's not how video games work. So many, and sometimes that's just not how society works. Because there are things like, what if we boot everyone off of this game? People will be incredibly angry. Except this is an MMO that you have publicly declared is being shut down permanently in about 12 hours. So first of all, nobody should be playing it at this point. And second of all, if they get booted off early, some might complain a little bit, but nobody's going to be like, oh my God, all that work. Well, all that work.
Yeah, you're right. These are those things that Trish was talking about sort of take you out of it. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And there are a lot of things. There are a lot of things that assume anything you do in a video game or a computer is permanent. And I don't know how to break this to you, but especially if you own the code, nothing you do in a video game or a computer is permanent ever. So what the fuck? And also the I don't think this bugged Trish, but the final climactic resolution is one of those that if you think it through two steps further is horrifying. And I won't say any more. I will talk to you about it afterward. But that's a problem. So, yeah, and
I do remember.
And it's just really glaring because I know sometimes I'm like, this is not the kind of movie where that's a deal. But I'm like, you made it dumb and you didn't have to. That's the thing. Is I'm like, you did a lot of shit that you didn't have to do. You could have worked with this premise in a way that wasn't insane.
Now that you're talking about it, a lot of the stuff in the film that had to do with like being in the software development company and stuff.
Yeah.
I thought this feels like the early 90s or something. I mean,
many named characters. So the guy who takes complaint calls is also the guy who manages the game's servers.
Yeah, it was just weird.
Also, that was fun for me. We were like, where are they going? Oh, to the server room. Yeah. Because you always have your massive video game servers in the same building. And Trish is like, yeah, on the ground floor. That's where you would put those, definitely.
Yeah, just all kinds of stuff like that. You're like, I think even ordinary people know that like it's like hacking. Like you see a movie and there's hackers in it and they're doing their hacking like you saw in movies in the 90s. And it's like, people are sophisticated. I mean, maybe nobody still knows what hacking is, but they've learned by now it's not that.
Well, and that is the thing. This movie had some of that.
Yeah.
And that I don't like it, but I'm fine with it in that. Yeah, they did hacking and then stuff happened. But if a movie tried to explain to me how the speed keyboarding specifically was doing the hacking, then I would be annoyed. Mm. And that's the thing. This movie could have gotten away with a lot, except it tried to explain things, which then exposed that they don't know what the fuck.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, weird.
There
that
are definitely, weird. I mean, it's about a character in a video game becoming self-aware. There are clearly fantasy elements to it. And I'm not picking on those. I'm picking on basic aspects of, again, how video games work and how computers work. And I'm especially picking on it because, again, the first act did real well with it. I was like, I could nitpick here, but in general, they understand how these video games work. And I like that. And then suddenly they stopped understanding. And that was frustrating. But this is just me bitching. I enjoyed the movie. I would recommend it to most people, especially if you are a fan of Ryan Reynolds. And it was funny. We laughed a lot. I did not expect and was correct in this. Any plot points that shocked me. There were no big twists that I didn't see coming, but I still wanted to know where the story was going. And to be fair, near the end, I knew where it was going. But by that point, we were doing other funny stuff. So that was good. And it has some really good, some people I knew in it, some people I don't. Lil Rel Howery is in it. He's really becoming a name lately. And that was fun. Also from it, I discovered another thing that's been bugging me for years. So, are you familiar with a song whose title, I believe it's a song from the 80s, maybe the 90s. The song is technically called the genius of love. But based on the lyrics, you would be forgiven for thinking the song is called My Boyfriend. Because the chorus of it goes, I'm in heaven with my boyfriend, my rockin' boyfriend. I thought this was a commonly known song because I've heard it lots of places. I didn't know that was what it was called. Trish apparently hadn't heard of it either. But it bothered me because whenever I hear the 1996 jam by Mariah Carey, Fantasy, the opening of it makes me think I'm about to hear that other song. Mm. And again, no spoilers, the 1996 Mariah Carey jam Fantasy plays a critical part in this movie. And there is a moment where it's starting quietly in the background, and I thought it was that song. And this bugged me enough that I looked it up afterwards. And yeah, the Mariah Carey song sampled the other one. The backtrack is exactly the same. I had to go on YouTube and first find the damn original one, which was hard because I didn't have the title right. But I did, and then I found the Mariah Carey one. I'm like, that's the same. And then Trish looked it up, and she's like, yep, it's sampled. So that was good to know why I always confuse those two. Because I have that sometimes where I hear the opening chords and I think it's a different song than it is. But this one, I'm like, this really feels like the same. And it turns out it is. So that was good to know. I thought I had more things to say. I went to my therapist with my brand new problem unrelated to my old problem. And my therapist is like, yeah, I think this is the same problem. I'm like, damn it. I'm still not sure I agree with it. You can look at it as the same problem if you look at this current problem as me dealing with my relationship with myself. But I choose to think of that as me just dealing with shit in my own head, which is very different than my other problem, which involved me relating to other people. So that's not fair. I had lunch with a listener yesterday. It was pretty good. We got into some deep stuff. So occasionally it was a little bit weird, but it got good. It was really long. It was like a 3.5 hour lunch almost, which is too long for lunch. Got shit to do, but it was a good time. I've been careful. Like I told you when you got back, we should do IHOP. And then I haven't picked that up again. COVID's a little bit up again. Where we are, it's now to medium levels of infection and no longer low. And I don't like that so much. I've started wearing a mask again when I go grocery shopping. It's I don't enjoy that. That's not a good thing. Really thought I had more. Does it sound like I'm trying to avoid emails?
It does. That's exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah, and I do this like every time. Does it always sound like that? Probably.
I mean,
am yeah, I trying? I probably am trying to avoid emails. And do you know why I'm trying to avoid emails?
No.
Because of Bombas socks. If you use the code Magical Talking Hat when you go to bombas.com, no, I'm sorry. Sometimes I like to pretend we have sponsors. We don't. Nobody loves us. Except you all. Crap except dinner. You don't love us enough to send us enough emails. I try and be careful because we don't ever have very many emails, and so they are precious and must be used sparingly. And so actually someone who listens came up with a very cool idea that I think is like when I come up with a very cool idea and then like don't ever do it. They actually work in AI. And they think they could probably pretty easily put together a pseudo AI that could just create questions for the hat.
Hmm.
They would just need previous hat questions, which I'm like, we got them. So that would be hilarious. But
we have 11 years of previous hat questions.
Well, I don't know that they all managed. Some of them I got, but they should all be in the mailbox. Not that we can get to it because it has its own email. We clearly don't know how to access it or have its password or whatever. Why would you even think that? I'm offended that you would think that, listeners. All right, read it.
Okay.
Romano.
We watched.
Rita Romano. Rita Moreno.
Project Mincemeat last night.
Miles Morales.
I kept pointing out who people were, actors. Oh, you know who that person is. Abby would say, no. I'd say they were in such and such. I just kept.
What were you watching?
Project Mincemeat.
What the fuck is Project Mincemeat?
Well, it's a film right now, but the film is based on something called Project Mincemeat, where in World War II, the British took a dead guy and dressed him up as a British Royal Navy officer and put fake top secret papers on him, tossed him in the ocean off the coast of Spain, where he would be discovered and where spies would think that he was a legitimate soldier who had legitimate information that they sent to Berlin, which caused Berlin to think that the Allies were going to make a serious move on Greece, when the Allies really planned to make a serious move on Sicily. And Hitler had moved a whole bunch of troops from Sicily to Greece. So when the Allies hit Sicily, they took it fairly easily with few casualties and everything else.
I saw the trailer for this. I forgot what it was called, but I do remember seeing the trailer for this. And there's a lot of good people in it. Why didn't you mention this, that you saw this movie?
I don't know.
Is it not that good?
No, I liked it. But I don't know. I just don't. You know, when the school
thing. Well, to be fair, you haven't been doing this for very long.
Shut up.
The
school thing. I mean, all morning I've been reading about personality assessments. So that's all that's in my head is that.
Yeah, that and the outer range.
Well, I don't even know how I remembered that. I just came up in my head while you were talking.
Is Project Mincemeat good? Should I watch it? It's on Netflix. That one I think is on Netflix, isn't it?
I don't remember.
Because it's real, but isn't it? It looked sort of, the way the trailers made it look vaguely comedic.
It's not comedic.
Well, fuck them.
It's historical fiction. I mean, if you're interested.
Yeah, you can make those funny.
Yeah, you can. But I mean, the performances were good. It was interesting, entertaining. If you're interested at all in the historical aspects, although, as we all know, historical fiction often fudges the historical aspect, so I don't
which know. Is yeah which is a problem for me. But oh my god, do you remember Yellow Jackets? Did you see Yellow Jackets? It was on Showtime. It had a whole bunch of really awesome women in it. Juliette Lewis was in it, Christina Ricci, a bunch of people, and everybody said it was awesome, but I didn't have Showtime or whatever. But people who know me were like, you should watch this. It's really awesome. And I'm like, well, maybe I will sometime. And for some reason, YouTube threw a trailer for it at me, which they hadn't ever before. And I went and looked at it. Why would anybody like it? I'm sure it's great. And I'm sure the performance are. It's dark as fuck. It appears to, in a lot of ways, be essentially Lord of the Flies, but with girls. I'm like, I'm questioning my friendships with people now. I'm like, why would people tell me? Do they not know me? I'm like, this looks like it's really good, and it looks like everything I hate about television. Like I would never want to watch this. I'm sure it's amazing. I would never want to watch this, and I'm a little offended that they didn't know this.
But I don't think I've ever heard.
Y'all might want to watch it.
Okay, Craig. This is from Craig. So Craig says,
Wait, you didn't finish your anecdote.
About what?
Abby's like, who is that while you're watching Project Mincemeat?
No, I was just saying that I kept naming everybody, and she, at some point she said, how do you remember all these faces? Like, I don't know.
And you're like, I lose everything that I learned in school.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got the actors in Mincemeat, but not the movie. I can't remember the movie.
Well,
and I've got Outer Range, and that's it.
Some of the people were like, you know, more recent.
Well, some of them are like, isn't Hugh Grant in it and shit?
No, no, no.
I thought there were a bunch of big British names in it.
There are, but
maybe I'm thinking of a totally.
But sometimes I can't remember names, but I can remember other things they've been in. Anyway, so one of the people in it was the guy that played young Sherlock Holmes years and years and years ago in Young Sherlock Holmes.
Now, but he is somebody, because I recently found out, like, some actor that I know turned out was young Sherlock Holmes. Like, it's not like this guy's known for young Sherlock. He's famous for some other reason. Like, he's an accomplished actor. If we said his name,
Maybe people.
This is what happens with me when we watch stuff, is I'm constantly pulling up my IMDb app on here because I can't stand it.
Anyway, Craig says, I was recently asked, tell me about your life, by someone who knows me well. While I'm not as bad as William when it comes to open-ended or hypothetical questions, it threw me for six. Now, to be fair.
Wait, it threw me for six?
That's what he says.
What does that mean?
This is just what he says.
I have never heard that in my life.
With open-ended and hypothetical questions on the podcast. But I think Tony will confirm that I'm also not very good at it in real life. But I think I'm worse on the podcast. Anyways, he asks, what would you say in response to that question? Tell me about your life. Well, as you've already guessed, Craig, I would be probably befuddled by such a question. I mean, I would immediately think of about 600 ways to answer it and not know which one. I wouldn't know how much detail the person wants, how far back they want me to go, if they're just asking about my work history or if they're asking about what's happened in the last week. I would probably ask a whole lot of questions about what they really are interested to know. Because that's just the way I am. But you know, it is worse on the podcast, I think. Tony, what would you say if someone said, tell me about your life?
Nicholas Rowe.
That's the guy's name?
Yes. And, I mean, he's been in a lot of things we've all seen, but there's nothing that I'm like, that would be how you would identify him. Although it is interesting, he played an adult Sherlock Holmes in a different thing. I think it was just a cameo of it, but
yeah, I do recall that.
Well, I mean, I feel like people have done it. Also, I've written bios about myself many times. But to be fair, in a lot of those, I have very intentionally lied. If people said, tell me about your life, I would say, I was born and raised in Oregon. And then I moved to Iowa to go to college, got a degree in anthropology. So of course my career was in newspaper circulation management, as you do. I've always been weird. I've always been fat. I've always been pretty funny, I think. And now I am retired and I'm a homemaker. And I married the craziest fucking woman and I love her to death and we have no kids and don't plan on having no kids, but we have a huge crowd of nibblings and I read, I write, I play video games, kind of a pervert. And in general, I'm pretty happy with my life.
That sounds like a good answer.
It's not, though, because most of that is not true. No, it's not, because it's a bad question. Not your question, Craig. The question. Tell me about your life. There are so many very broad interpretations of that question.
Do you
want a timeline of major events in my life? Because that's not really what I just did. I gave you sort of a mix. But do you want to know what sort of life I have led or tried to lead? Do you want to know what kind of person I am? Do you want to know how well traveled I am? Do you want sort of a CV? Like, these would all elicit very different answers. And I think these could all fall under the question, tell me about your life. I mean,
when I'm talking to someone, I usually ask very specific questions like,
of course.
Well, where are you from? How did you get here?
What do you do? I'm not even going to make you answer this question because I don't think you could in any form. I don't think you can remember yesterday or what you had for breakfast. But see?
Have breakfast.
Yeah. If somebody asks you, tell me, or I guess not ask, tells you, tell me about your life.
Oh, like, you mean like a counselor points and you
exactly. Like a counselor someone does. When someone orders you to tell you about their life, what do you think? I can't say ask. What do you think they're ordering? What do you think they're asking? What do you think they think that question is?
I don't know.
Right?
I don't have the first idea.
Right?
But that's not
just because it's William. I also have this.
Oh, okay.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, other times, I could tell you, like, when somebody asks, do you own a cat? What do you think they're asking? And you'd be like, I'm not sure. Like, and that's on you. But this one, I'm like, no, I'm also not sure. Do you own a cat?
Do you mean, have I?
Yeah, thank you. Just wanted to make sure you had the proper response. I would have been disappointed if you were just like, no. Good. Well done. Check gold star for William today. Which I think might have to be the title now. I thought it was going to be Forgive Me, William, for I Have Sinned, but I think gold star for William today is nice. Good job. But yeah, no, I think it's a bad question, Craig. What do you think they wanted to know? And especially go back and look again. The email says somebody who knows them pretty well, right?
That's what he says. Someone who knows him well asked that question.
Yeah. So I believe the correct response is, what the fuck are you talking about? Because you already know, a decent chunk of my life you probably have been here for or heard about already. What is the bit you're lacking?
You know, nobody in my family would ask that particular question, I don't think. But if they did,
very few people would.
If they did, I think I would know that they mean what's happened since the last time I saw you, because obviously I know what they know about my life.
Yeah.
So I would.
But then they would say, what's up? Not like, although maybe I'm going to start using that. When I greet people that I haven't seen since like yesterday, they tell me about your life. We did one of the Nibblings when she was younger would do that. She'd come up and be like, do you want to tell me about your day, Aunt Trish? And it was they were like four or something. Like they didn't want to know about their day, but they had just learned this interaction. So they thought that was cool. If I am in real life approached with this sort of question, I consider it parallel to a question that does get asked, that most of the time gets asked in an interview. And that question is, so tell me a little about yourself. And in an interview, two things there. One, I know, tell me about yourself in things that I, as somebody who might want to hire you, would consider relevant. But also, I know this from experience, that question is purposefully obtuse because you learn a lot about how people answer that question, not necessarily the content of the answer, but what it is that they think is worth sharing or important to get out. And you learn from that. And so that is less about, I'm asking you a question I want an answer to. This is, I'm going to say a thing and see what sort of reaction that stimulates. And I often would take something like, tell me about your life, as that, as just a excuse to see how I react. In which case, I might give the version I just gave, or more likely, I would give a variation on that included a lot more lies.
Well, that's also a question they can ask in interviews that might elicit responses to questions that they're not allowed to answer or not allowed to ask. I mean, you're not allowed to ask about a person's family life.
Very true.
But if you ask that, if you ask that question, they could disclose information about their family life that you wouldn't be allowed to ask about.
Yep. Yep. Or religion or age or all sorts
of politics, whatever it is. Yeah. There are things you can't ask or maybe you could ask, but it would be questionable for you to ask. But if you ask an open-ended question like that, they might give you that information without you having to ask for it.
But I know interviewers who start with that. First of all, it allows them to sort of get settled, but also it's like, you know, this is the epitome of the first impression. This is me saying, you're about to make your first impression. Show me what impression you want that to be. And so if a friend or William said to me, tell me about your life. I can't. Like, if an acquaintance or a stranger does it, yeah. If you do it, if my friend Danny does it, if Trish did it, like, my answer is, what the hell are you talking about?
Welcome to my world. Like, I like that about just about every question.
If you're lucky, if you're not lucky, I start with something like, I was born a poor black child. And then like I just make up something out of whole cloth / steel from old Steve Martin bits. That's a terrible question. That person is a bad friend.
Well,
they should be ashamed and you should be ashamed for knowing. You're bad and you've done bad things. I don't know. The more I think about it, the wilder that is for somebody who knows you to have asked you that. I think the only not crazy way you can interpret that is they are saying subtly, because they're embarrassed, I guess, I've recently suffered major head trauma. And while I have been told that you and I were at one time close, I don't remember you in the slightest. So please, in the hopes that maybe it will jar something loose in my mind, tell me about your life. So, yeah, Craig, what it means is your friend's got brain cancer.
Or someone has quantum leapt into that person. And now.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Okay, Craig, right before they said this, did they say, oh boy? Because if so, we got a quantum leaper on our hands.
Yep, and just wants clearly to know who you are.
Exactly. They need to get set. Did they mention Ziggy afterward? Are they talking to somebody named Al that you can't see?
Those are clues.
Yes. Oh, shit. Yeah. I should have saw that. I'm glad you caught that. Because that's a big one. Like that, yeah. That's possibly the least crazy explanation.
Or
it's a quantum leaper. Oh, which is also a good title. I don't know.
Demonic possession, maybe, depending.
Yeah, didn't they say it like, tell me about your life?
Yeah.
In which case, I'd say you typed it wrong in your email. That's not how that's spelled. or William read it wrong. I apologize. I haven't seen probably the email.
Maybe
did this it have me. Like five A's in the word life and stuff like that? Maybe you read it wrong.
Something.
Yeah, like we have no help for you, Craig. Your friend is weird. Or not even sorry. Someone who knows me well might not have been a friend. Maybe it's a relative or something. They're weird. Or they're quantum leaper. Or they're a demon. So that's the good news. You have three to pick from. Whichever of those speaks to you, we'll say that's the truth. I do like this email. Thank you for this. I feel like this is a good email to send to the podcast. Send emails like this, people. Except, but they don't know. They don't have terrible friends who are like, tell me about your life or whatever. You know. So recently YouTube threw something at me that it hasn't before, but I think it's because I watch other YouTube channels that like dig up and talk about like old TV shows and shit. But there was this new one lately that brought up a show called Eisenhower and Lutz, and it was a sitcom, and it starred Scott Bakula. And the premise of the sitcom was there's a man played by Scott Bakula who's a lawyer and also a really shitty human being. And he associates with his ex, who is also a lawyer, and his new girlfriend. And he actively pursues both of them, and they both know it, but everybody's just okay with it, and he just sucks. But like, he doesn't learn any lessons or anything like that. It's a terrible show, but it almost got renewed for a second season. It didn't get renewed for a second season. The creator of the show went on to pitch a new show that was the same premise with the same cast members, except now they worked, I think, at a radio station instead of a law office. However, Scott Bakula did not continue on. They got a new guy to play the main character because Scott Bakula started Quantum Leap that year, which means if Eisenhower and Lutz had been picked up for a second season, we either wouldn't have had Quantum Leap or it wouldn't have been Scott Bakula. And that's terrifying. Also, one of the clips in the show, he said, "Oh boy." And I'm like, is that like a call ahead Easter egg? Or is that just a thing Scott Bakula says? Mm-hmm. Anyway, that is just my little extra anecdote because it was in my head. And that's really what the show is about, is for me to say things in my head to the internet because I need attention. And William is just a good enough friend and a dumb enough guy that he'll go along with it.
Yep, both of those things. Those are my best qualities right there.
If William ever does a cost-benefit analysis for him being on this podcast, I will have to get a new co-host. No, luckily, that's not true. He doesn't know what a cost-benefit analysis is.
I know what a cost-benefit analysis is.
Too many syllables. It's weird to bring this up now at the end of episode 500 and something. William is very stupid. He says he's in a master's program, or that, like, all of that is not true. I've met his classmates. They are sock puppets. He does the voices. They all sound the same to me. It's a, yeah.
That's interesting.
Is it though? See, kind of. I don't think the rest of us think it is. That's, yeah, see, this is another sign here. So on that bombshell, we should wrap up this episode. If you're doing this on YouTube, like it, subscribe it, comment it, whatever. Apparently that is good for us. Gets us into the zeitgeist. It gets us engagement. Gets us synergy, probably. I don't know.
Probably that, yeah.
Write in, first and foremost, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com with whatever you want. We'll run with it, as you can see. Listen, keep listening, because otherwise we cease to exist. And go to aethertheater.com. Mm-hmm. Yes. And check out a bunch of shit there. There's films, there's comic strips, all of which are good. Some of which are better. There's a trilogy of books that I would recommend. And go to smashwords.com and look up Anthony K. Parsons, or look up Oddwings, Oddwings, all one word. Spend $3, you cheap bastard, and read my book, because my book is really good.
It's very good.
William's books are fine, tolerable, worth the price. My book's something special.
Thank you.
God
thanks
sake.
For that.
Yeah. And all of Williams' books are just socks. All of Williams' books are socks, sock puppets, and they all have the same voice. No, I helped edit Williams' books and read them after I helped edit them. They are good. Check those out. But mine's still going. I'm working on the sequel right now. So just, you know, luxuriate in us.
Yeah.
I don't know how to follow that up, so I'm just going to stop.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.